It's a very wide subject. It encompasses all schools of Indian philosophy, all different aspects of Hindu religion, all precepts of the Vedas, Upanishads. The holy tradition of India from times immemorial, from the time of Indian culture, from the beginning of the world, that tradition which has been holding the path of salvation, which has been guiding the people from time to time, people of all times, to the path of salvation for their intellectual growth, for their emotional growth, for all developments in life, that is the holy tradition of India, and that is the hoary tradition of India. To understand that, we'll have to understand the gist of all these different schools of Indian philosophy. Now, philosophy as a whole, philosophy is that which describes about the goal of life, about the ways of nature, about the mystery of nature, from where is coming this man, whither shall it go. These are the problems answered by philosophy. Philosophy is descriptive, it describes. It's nothing practical. It is descriptive. Religion is the practical application of philosophical understanding of man to achieve the goal decided by the philosophy. Religion provides a practical way. Religion is practical. Philosophy is descriptive, theoretical. Goal of life, the past of life, the present trend and the future end of life, all this is decided by philosophy, descriptive. To achieve to the goal decided by the philosophy, the path of activity, what to do and what not to do, do this and don't do that, do this and don't do that. This practical aspect to be put in action. The way of life is designed by religion. Religion is that which gives us the practical way of life, what to do and what not to do, how to do and what to do. Right from the birth till the death, right from the early morning till we get to sleep, different aspects of our thought, speech and action are designed by religion. Religion is practical. Now, the practical aspect of religion is for salvation, for realization of God. Realization of God, the path to realization is manifold. Different types of men are there. Each man has to start from where he is and what he is till he rises to that perfection which is called God realization. God realization is the state of greatest happiness that could be conceived. The state of absolute bliss. consciousness. Absolute bliss consciousness is Godhood. Now again, this is one type of Godhood. This realization of pure absolute bliss consciousness is one type of God realization. Realization of the omnipresent absolute bliss consciousness, realization of the self. This is one type of perfection. Another type of God realization is coming in direct contact with the almighty aspect of God. Some God which is almighty, which is capable of doing everything in the whole field of creation, that some almighty personal God, to be with him, to play with him, to tease him, to be teased by him, to be his, and to make him ours. This is another type of God realization. This is of a personal nature, and that realization of the omnipresent bliss consciousness is the realization of the impersonal God, realization of our own essential nature, realization of the truth. Indian philosophy has these two different conceptions of God, and religion of India lays the path of realization of both these concepts of God. Regarding personal God, the theory of creation according to Indian thought is that the whole cosmos, whole objective cosmos, is the result of five elements: Akasha, Agni, Vayu, Jal, Prithvi. That is Akasha, space. Space doesn't convey the full sense of Akasha, but for our understanding we'll say that. Space element, the subtlest element, grosser than the space, and the effect of space is air element, then fire element, water element, earth element. These are the five elements of which all these objects, the whole universe, the whole concrete universe, is composed of. Everything has all these five elements in it, but each one has one of these five in predominance. All men have all the five elements, but in some man Akash element may be predominant, in the other water element may be predominant. All the five will be there, but one will be predominant. In this way, the whole creation comes to be channelized under five different channels. The creation in which the Akash element, the space element, will be predominant, coming in one channel. Creation in which the air element is predominant, and creation in which the fire element will be predominant, creation in which water element will be predominant, creation in which earth element will be predominant. All these will be the five channels. Now when we are talking of creation, at one end of the channel we'll have inert creation, creation which has no life, no bliss, no consciousness, nothing. All that is one extreme end of creation, inert creation. On the other end of the creation will be perfect creation. Between this perfect creation and imperfect creation will lie all grades of creation. Human creation is somewhere in the middle. Lower than human we find all the animals and all these, which are where the life is much less developed. Higher than man are the creation of angels, and then God. Ultimately, some creation which lies at the top of these five channels, these will be almighty, capable of doing everything in the field of all creation. These five gods at the top of some personal beings who are perfect in their constitution. If they have eyes, they have perfect eyes. They will be able to see all things at a time, between means perfection of vision. If they have nose, the smelling power, they will be able to smell all things at a time. This will mean the perfection of the smell. All the senses will be perfect, mind will be perfect, intellect will be perfect, ego will be perfect, capacity of doing anything and everything in the field of creation will be there. This means almighty. So according to the whole creation, we find five almighty heads on the top of each channel of creation. These are the five personal gods, which are points of approach of all the creations lying below that. The whole channel, as if is proceeding upwards, going to meet them. From all lower status of development, the soul is getting ahead until it reaches that, and until it identifies itself with that personal God. This gives us the five gods according to Indian thought. They have five gods. Lord Vishnu is the Lord of the creation where the Akashi Tattva, space element, is in predominance. Lord Sun, the Sun, God Sun, is the head of that channel where the Agni Tattva, fire element, is predominant. Devi, the mother aspect of the Divine, Almighty Mother, Divine Mother, she is at the top of Suryan, the Sun, the God Sun, is on the top of the creation where the air element is predominant. Air element. Where the fire element is predominant, Mother, Devi. The creation where the water element is predominant is Lord Ganpati. Ganpati. The creation where the earth element is predominant at the top of that is Lord Shiva. All these five, and naturally, the man who lies in this, in any of these channels, has a natural inclination for that Lord. Natural inclination. Natural tendency towards that. According to these five gods of approach for the whole creation, we get five traditions of five different paths of salvation. Each has a specific tradition, because each God, when we say personal God, then personal God has to have a specific nature of his own, has to have some likings and dislikings, but because it's in the manifested field. So the nature of these gods differ from one another. Likings and dislikings differ from one another, although each one of them is equally powerful to elevate their followers. But their likings and dislikings differ, therefore their manner of approach differs. How to approach that, through what offerings, their offerings differ. Someone likes this, someone likes this. Flowers, what God likes, what flowers most, and they are offered in what manner, and on what special days, and on those days, at what special hour of the day, whether it's midnight or whether midday or evening or morning, very minute details of pleasing those gods. And this distinguishes between the traditions, and this distinguishes between the manner of approach. According to the manner of approach to their gods, the way of life of the people differ. If some god likes to be worshipped at midnight, so they worship at midnight. They get up late in the morning. They keep up awake throughout the night. Whole setup of life differs according to the ishtam, according to the god. Therefore, the traditions differ. These are the five main traditions, main holy traditions. There is a sixth tradition also, and the sixth tradition is that which is pervading all these five traditions of God realization. Sixth tradition is said to be the real tradition which holds all these five, and the sixth, the aspect of the omnipresent God. The realization of Brahman, the realization of Atman, the realization of the Self, the realization of the cosmic existence. This has its own tradition. Now, the sixth tradition is the tradition of Vedanta. Vedanta means the last chapter of the Vedas, the end of the Vedas. It will not be out of place if I mention. The whole study of the Vedas has been divided into three parts. The three parts, Karma Kanda, Upasana Kanda, Jnana. Karma Kanda is how to act, daily life, right from morning to night, right from birth to death, all decided how to do and what to do and what not to do. This is Karma Kanda. Upasana Kanda, the chapter of worship, how to worship. This is approach to the personal God. How to worship, with what mantra to offer the flower, with what mantra to offer the incense, with what mantra offer the fruit, with what mantra to do what, with what mantra to prostrate, with what special names we make chanting, all that very specific. This is Upasana Kanda, worship. The manner of worship, all in great details, in very great details. Third is Jnana, that is the chapter of knowledge. The chapter of knowledge decides that it brings the unity. Karma Kanda prepares the mind for all the details of life, all the diversity, and how to handle the diversity, and Upasana Kanda, how to get to the touch of the Almighty in order that all the diversity may be better lived, better understood, better performed, better taken care of. And then the last chapter, how to handle the unity which is pervading the whole field of diversity. This is Vedanta, the last chapter of the Vedas, and that declares that all this is bliss. Sarvam khalidam brahmanena nasti kinchan, all this is Brahman, and there is nothing without Brahman, and Brahman alone, and that I am, and that thou art, the bliss eternal absolute consciousness. With grace, with all the logic, it goes to establish that all this diversity is nothing, it's only a seeming faith. It's only a phenomenal existence. In reality, it is bliss. Just like the whole world is like a dream, it doesn't dream, and not even like a dream. Like a snake that is seen in the... A string is lying on the floor, and in the semi-darkness, you find that it's snake. You are afraid. So the snake is not there. The snake is there only in ignorance. Ignorance of the rope. Actually, the rope exists, and snake is only a mental melody. Actually, what exists is the absolute bliss consciousness, eternal bliss, and all this the seeming phenomenal world is nothing but a mirage. Not a drop of water, and the ocean of water is seen in the mirage. All this does not exist, even the present. This conception of the Vedanta has been held to be understood by the present investigations of material science, which declares that all this flower is nothing but electrons and protons, all this form is nothing but the formless energy. It is the energy that exists, and the form is only a superimposition on the formless. This helps us to conceive of the real unity in the whole field of diversity. This is what Vedanta declares. So, the tradition which holds the Vedanta, now, the tradition which holds the Vedanta is the most ancient tradition. All these five traditions pertaining to all these five personal gods and the sixth of the omnipresent Atman or Brahman, Nirakar. This is also time immemorial. All these six divisions. Shankaracharya, about 2,500 years ago, Shankaracharya brought up all these classifications very clearly. Not that this classification didn't exist before. It did exist before, because the whole of the Vedas speak of this, and there was nothing new, but as it happens, after some time the highways are worn out and the engineers come and then make it. Shankaracharya came and he commented, he brought commentary on on the Upanishads, on Bhagavad Gita. These are the authentic scriptures. And he commented upon them and brought hope to the people of India of those times that it is the Vedanta, it is the essential nature of the unity which is aimed at by all the religious scriptures of India. All these gods, okay, all these gods, through these gods come out to the omnipresent. He brought out this thing that we accept. We accept all diversity. We accept all diversity. Even we accept all need to communicate ourselves to the personal God, thereby gaining more powers and more facilities in the field of creation. But that alone is not enough. That is in the field of ignorance, he says. The field of knowledge will be get into the spirit of those gods, and the spirit of those gods is my own spirit, is thine own spirit, is the universal bliss, full consciousness. So from the personal, directly he leads to the impersonal, and this is the message of the spiritual regeneration movement, from the personal to the impersonal, from the sound to the state of sound, pure consciousness. This is the greatest secret of success in life, that we tune ourselves to some personal and get on to the impersonal, transcendent. This is from the Upasana Kanda, that is from the chapter of worship, we get on to knowledge directly. Not that we try to get on to that sphere of knowledge without any intermediary thing. Because we are behaving in the field of all multiplicity, in the obvious field of multiplicity, behaving in the obvious field of multiplicity, it seems to be very difficult how to conceive of that unity. And where is that unity? After all, we are seeing the flower and the glass and this and this. What is then? What does it mean by seeing through it and omnipresent and all that? It seems to be out of conception. But here comes a process of experiencing the gross sound, and experiencing the subtler sounds, experiencing the subtler, 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 experiencing the subtlest, we get on to the transcendent and directly be it. This is the realization of the Vedanta. From the personal, sound is personal, something limited by time, space and causation, something limited. From the limited, we get on to the field of the unlimited. From the field of the gross limited, We go to the field of the subtle limited, thereby increasing our capacity of experience, and then we get on to the direct experience of the unlimited. There, it's not only the experience by an experiencer, but the experiencer is found itself in that state of being. Complete identification with that being it. And this is the highest realization, where this is realization of the perfection. From the imperfect, we come to the perfect, and come consciously, not unconsciously, directly experiencing, we be. This Shankaracharya's tradition, which holds the personal and the impersonal both in hand, and does not reject anything, all the five are welcome. All the five traditions are included, because if someone is the worshipper of Lord Vishnu, come on to the Vishnu mantra. You have your Lord Vishnu, but do not suck up yourself in that. Come behind. Contain it. And getting on to the Vishnu becomes more difficult. Whereas transcending the word Vishnu and getting to the spirit of the Vishnu is very easy, because thereby we directly aim at bliss eternal. Otherwise, till Lord Vishnu is cognized, till he comes, till we get to that, Vishnu is only an imaginary thing, something imaginary. Lord Shiva, something imaginary. We imagine, out of love, out of our natural affinity towards Lord Shiva, we go on worshipping him. But actually, he has not become any personal experience of ours. And till he becomes the experience, it's only an imagination of Lord Shiva. Imagination of Lord Shiva has no quality of Lord Shiva. Though Lord Shiva is very blissful, but the imagination of Lord Shiva is as dry as anything. It hasn't even the charm of the beauty of the flower. It's just the imagination of Lord Shiva, imagination. So, get on to the Shiva through the imagination of Shiva is much more difficult, whereby, otherwise, getting through the subtler phases of the Lord Shiva, getting to the spirit of Lord Shiva, is just getting to the glorious Lord Shiva, the eternal base consciousness. Having gained that, the mind is steady, the mind is powerful, the mind has the capacity of experiencing anything in the field of nature. Gross, subtle, there at the subtlest field of creation, like Lord Shiva, we directly communicate. So, this not only helps us to get through from the personal to the impersonal, but glorifies this and brings to light the hidden glory of the personal also. The wisest plan of life. The wisest plan of life, whereby no man could be left aside. Whatever he is, whatever his inclinations are, if he is the mother, come on through the mother. But get on to the mother. Get on to the spirit of mother, and then enjoy mother. This is the real tradition of the Vedas. This is the hoary tradition of India, which encompasses all these smaller traditions of India. Otherwise, each tradition is a masterly tradition. The tradition of worship to Lord Shiva is a masterly tradition. Everything about Lord Shiva, and it's a glorious something. Each tradition, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, Lord Ganpati, Lord Suryan and Mother, each tradition is a masterly tradition, and through any tradition man will realize. And what he realizes ultimately is this, which is said to be Vedanta. And here comes the tradition of Shankaracharya, which having hold all these and gets on to the sixth also. Gurudeva was to say, he was Jagat Guru Shankaracharya. Right? Everyone who comes, tradition, comes one after the other, they are called Shankaracharyas. As Pope, whosoever comes, he is a Pope, he is a Pope, the Shankaracharya. He used to say, he used to give the example, a man having one bottle cannot be called a doctor. One special patent medicine he has, and he says, come on, I'll cure you, one bottle of medicine. He cannot be called a doctor, a surgeon. The one who has all the five and six, where he cannot, no patient can go out of his realm. So the spiritual regeneration movement is based on that Hori tradition of India, which is capable of handling everybody, everywhere, whosoever he may be, whatever may be his faith, whatever may be his inclination, whatever may be his state of development. One man in South India, I don't remember his name, I was in Kottayam in Kerala. The papers gave rise up, and he was staying about 40 miles, a man of 80 years. And he was called to be a Siddha. Siddha means a realized man. He was the devotee of Mother. Here I may mention, all these five traditions pertaining to these gods have lately, fairly old, have been divided into two. One is said to be the Vedic tradition, the other is said to be the Tantric tradition. There are Tantric mantras pertaining to Shiva, Vishnu and all these gods, and there are Vedic mantras pertaining to all these gods. Their methods of approach are different. Vedic method of approach go through direct to the idol of Lord Shiva. Tantric, they have got some lines and squares and triangles and this, so much of it. Tantras. Mantras are in both. Mantra means the sound pertaining to all these. Special sounds to please all that. So mantras are in both the traditions, in the Vedic tradition and in the Tantric tradition. But the tantras are different. They have squares and this. He was a Tantric devotee of Mother. And having heard, he came one day and there were some at about 11 o'clock in the night, some businessmen and some doctor and two, three lawyers, they were sitting and they're talking something. 2 days after, I was to leave that place. He came, it was about in the night. He came, he couldn't see properly and could not hear. He came with a man, some of his nephews. And everybody got up and they greeted him very nicely, and they introduced me that he is supposed to be a very great, in this province, he is the master of his subject called Siddha. He said, very nice, fine. He said, and he starts talking. I had to speak very loudly to him. I called him near and speaking. About half an hour after speaking, I happened to ask him, he was putting very practical questions, and was putting the questions where this Tantra and Vedanta meet. He had gone far in his upasana, in his matter of worship. I asked him, now where you are, what is your state in your line? Then he said, I have left outer worship. Now I have come to Atmopasana. Atmopasana means self-worship. I have come to self-worship. What happened? There's a lot of paraphernalia. What to be offered, central and this. So much of it. And then they offer to the idol of Mother. They offer flowers, they can offer water, this thing. And when the mind becomes absorbed in that, so much so that they have only the idea in the mind to offer, and then they lift up the flower, and then lifting up the flower, the mind is absorbed. So the mind falls, the flower falls this way or that way and this way and that way. When this begins to happen, then this outer worship is supposed to have its zenith. Now, then when this goes on happening for some time, then their guide tells them, all right, then don't have these flowers and don't have these, only just sit down and think that the Mother is there in your heart and you are that, and mental worship. Then mentally they go on, now they don't move the hands, and if the hands move out of practice, they go on moving, and then they go on having the idea of offering the flower and the rice and this, all glorification of. And then later on, when the mind is more absorbed in it, then the distinction of the items fail to continue, and then they just take on to just oneness, they stay there, bliss develops. He said, I have stopped outer worship and I have now come to Atmopasana, to self-worship. I said, then if you have come to self-worship, now come on, you need an aeroplane now. I said, now you need an aeroplane, because the Atmopasana, the self-worship according to Tantra will take a long time, and now it's already 80 years, you need a quick march. When I said you need an aeroplane, and there was a doctor sitting, and he held him on a very high esteem. Immediately he said, "Oh, Swamiji, you have not understood him. He is the great Siddha, and he has done in this province which no other man could do, and I don't think he needs anything from you." I said, he is a great Siddha, a cherished child of mother, and that's why the mother who has brought her, the grace of mother who brought her from 40 miles, is now telling him to come and take to the aeroplane, not leave the because he has earned the grace of divine mother, so now mother wants him to come up quick. No losing time, because it's certain that according to tantric methods of Atmopasana, tantric methods of self-worship, he will come to this state of unity in long time. It will take him, and then already 80, why waste time? He immediately interrupted and he said, "Yes, when I am to come?" I said, "You come tomorrow morning." Every one of them, they were all the important people of that town, they were only amazed, and he said, "They don't know what is going to happen." He came next morning, and I asked the people to be quite away from that room, because I had to speak loud to him. I asked him to remain with me for about 45 minutes. In that I gave him 2-3 checkings, and then outside he went, and then everybody ran to him, what news he brings. He said, "The whole lifetime worship of mine has been successful today. This is that tradition which is capable of handling and holding all the traditions, whosoever he may be and howsoever advanced he may be, and in any of these traditions, here is something. This is the great Hori tradition of India, which is capable of inviting all people for all from all status of development to bring them to perfection. This is inclusive of all karmakanda. Karmakanda means all the duty of man from morning to night and birth to death, all. Inclusive of all, no condemnation of anything, no criticism of anything. All the framework is accepted. This is all the framework of religion. This is all the framework of religion. Do this. Through all this framework, the religion aims at infusing the spirit. The spirit is blissful consciousness, absolute bliss consciousness to be lived in life. This is infused. So this is that great Hori tradition of India, which accepts everything of everything, doesn't reject anything. All the framework of religion, all the dogmatic thing and everything, and provides the spirit, provides that which that sphere lacks. Everything is provided. This is our great fortune, that the spiritual regeneration movement is based on such a grand and solid foundation that we could hope for spiritual regeneration of the whole world through this simple technique of meditation. The whole long long approach has been cut short, and all this credit goes to Gurudeva, being Shankaracharya, the head of that tradition, which is for everyone, irrespective of any distinction of caste, creed, or nationality, irrespective of any distinction. He was the head of that tradition, which is responsible to give salvation to all. And here he brings a formula to be adopted by anyone, whosoever he may be. This is that great Hori tradition of India, which holds in its fold all the traditions, and all these traditions are holy traditions. All the different approaches to all the different gods, and accepting all, we make everyone accept something which is very useful for everyone. This is ultimately Vedanta. This tradition holds the Vedanta school of philosophy at the top. There are six, according to Indian philosophy, there are six schools of Indian philosophy. Each school is perfect in itself. Each school, it's like a six-story building. Each story is self-sufficient, but each has a staircase to the other. It is self-sufficient, but providing a staircase to the higher one. Each is self-sufficient, providing a staircase. Now, this practical aspect of Vedanta is yoga. Yoga. It is called Raj Yoga. Raj Yoga is that. Raj Yoga is that which develops cosmic consciousness from the level of self-consciousness. We begin to attain self-consciousness, the mantra is lost and we are left in that pure, blissful, pure state of being, consciousness. From that momentary state of self-consciousness to the eternal state of self-consciousness along with all this experience of diversity, that is cosmic consciousness. From that self-consciousness to cosmic consciousness is the field of Raj Yoga. From the field of diversity to the field of that pure state of being, from the field of diversity to the field of self-consciousness is the field of all other yogas. Mantra Yoga, Laya Yoga, Hatha Yoga, and all the different types of yogas, all the different ways of union to the divine. The scope of all the different methods of realization is to bring the mind from the diverse field to the field of unity within. Having gained that, now this is samadhi, kshanik samadhi. Having gained that, from that state of samadhi to that state of nitya samadhi. Nitya samadhi means all time samadhi. All time samadhi means the state of being not to be lost at any time. All 24 hours, waking, dreaming, sleeping, at no time the state of being be lost, that is cosmic consciousness. Through all the experiences of the wakeful state, through all the experiences of the dreaming state, and through all the experience of ignorance, through deep sleep, through all this should be lived, this state of being should be maintained in a natural way, that